you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you believe that God is in control of your life, give me another amen.
Amen.
If you know, you are sure that Jesus indeed is Lord and is in charge of everything that concerns you, give me another amen.
Amen.
If your life is being lived in the service of God, give me an amen.
Amen.
If God is taking you somewhere great in life, give me another amen.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. First of all, let me just thank all of you, especially our pastor. Which title do I use for you? I don't even know. Okay, senior brother, all right? Engineer Chukwuecha, for inviting me once again. I'm happy that I'm invited back here. I was here last year. You know why I'm happy? It's because that means you were blessed last time I came. Because if you're not blessed, you'll say, that man, if he comes near, we'll lock the gate. But that I was invited to come back, it means that the ministry was well received, and I give God the glory for that, all right? So I'm very happy to be here again this season, this weekend. And I trust again that you are going to be blessed by this teaching that I'm going to bring forth from the presence of God this weekend in the name of Jesus Christ. I trust that as I'm speaking, I trust that the Lord will give you understanding. Say amen.
Amen.
He will give you insight.
Amen.
He will renew your mind.
Amen.
He will cause His grace to shower down abundantly upon you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know that as I'm speaking, I will speak only the counsel of God, and your life will definitely be transformed by it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Now let me quickly get into my teaching. I can see all kinds of papers in front of me. That means you are ready. What I'm going to be speaking about, which you already know, is what?
Grace to prosper.
Grace to prosper. All right. Grace to prosper. I am going to, you know, it looks like we have a lot of time, but actually the time is not as much as it appears. But we are going to make good use of it. I am going to make so many points. I don't even know. The way I teach, I'm not a very ordered teacher. So I can't say I'm going to give you 15 points. I may intend to give 15 and I give only 2. I may want to start with 2, I give 15. But one thing is sure, is that the mind of God will be communicated to you. All right? So this evening we're just going to start. As I was meditating, preparing to come and teach, the first thing that came to my mind is that I should explain the meaning of the word grace. I have to start by explaining the meaning of the word grace. We are talking about grace to prosper. There is no better way to explain the word grace than to look at that book of Deuteronomy that we all know, chapter 8. I'm going to look at that again later, but let's just start with it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to show something about the meaning of the word grace. We are talking about grace to prosper. I'll read just one verse, all right, so as to save our time, from verse 18. Or let's just back up a bit, all right, so as to save, to get it in context. Moses was speaking to the people of Israel here, and he told them about their experiences. He reminded them. In verse 15, he said, "The Lord led you through the great and terrible wilderness, with his fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock." You see in verse 16, he said, "In the wilderness he fed you with manna." Then in verse 17, he said in verse 16 that the reason why he did that was to humble you and that he might test you so that at the end of the day he might do you good. He said in verse 17, if he didn't do that, you may say in your heart, now notice this, he was going to do you good. But they wanted to be sure that you will not say anything wrong in your heart. He said, you may say in your heart, my power, now notice that, and my strength, and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. He said, that's what I don't want you to say. In verse 18, Moses said, but you shall remember, this is the verse I really want, for you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Please notice that verse. I just want to say a word of prayer. Father, enlighten your word in the hearts of your people today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
and cause me to speak only your express counsel in Jesus' name. Now, let's go back into that. He said, you are going to make wealth. That's what he meant when he said he would do you good in the end. He said, but you must remember that it is the Lord your God that's given you the power to make wealth. And he described the purpose for that. He said, so that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. I want to explain the meaning of the word grace. That word grace, though it's not used here, but this verse of the scriptures is so good to explain the meaning of the word grace. Because we don't have all the time, I will just quickly tell you what it means. Just trust me, I'm not lying to you. Are you getting my point? I will not go through all the verses. But what's the meaning of the word grace? The way most of us look at grace, we say grace is unmerited favor. Grace is something that just happens to you. It is not because you did anything to warrant it. Now, that is not totally correct concerning the use of the word grace in the Bible. In fact, if you know anything about Greek language, you will know that the word grace comes from the word charis, which you can easily understand is the origin of words like charismatic. When you say a man has charisma, you've heard that before, that somebody has charisma. That word charis is what grace, that's what is called grace in the scriptures. Just by the way we use the word charismatic, charisma, you will know that grace is not a passive thing. And in the scriptures, grace is not passive. What most of us call grace is actually mercy. Mercy is that which just covers you. Mercy is that which allows something that you did not deserve to come to you and prevented that which you deserve negatively to come to you. That's mercy. But the word grace in this New Testament does not refer to what we call unmerited favor like that. No. It refers to the power of God that is manifested towards those who believe. And I can prove it. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And what is that grace? It's the power of God working towards me. Are you getting my point? He said, you see it, I labored more than them all. But it is not I, but the grace of God working with me. Grace, therefore, is divine enablement to work. Grace is not just that, oh, I don't know how it happened, though. Something just didn't happen to me. No. Grace is the enablement that God gives you to do something. So Paul said that, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Sometimes we say, but the Bible says, by grace have you been saved, all right, through faith, all right? You now say that means that I didn't deserve the salvation. That is also true. But when the Bible says, by grace you have been saved, that tells you that God exerted power to save you. Salvation is not free, it's not cheap. It's just that somebody else paid for it. It is expensive. God had to spend energy and spend power to deliver us from our troubles. So that's why I said, by grace have you been saved, but that grace was activated by faith. So you see that what Paul was saying to us, when he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, he said, his power working towards me did not prove vain. You understand my point? That is, you see, what he called grace is the power of God working towards him. Please bear that in mind. That's what grace is. Grace is not just that, oh, I don't know what happened though. Hey, I heard that everything went well. I said, thank God, though, it's the grace of God. That is right, but let's not make the mistake of thinking that's all there is to grace. I'd rather us use such expressions as like this. It's the mercy of God that is appropriate. Let me tell you what grace is. I was talking to my wife the other day. You know, I've been preaching in our ministry office every week for the last, this year we'll make it 12 years. And then over the last few years, twice a week. And I'm in a way this weekend, I'll preach four times. And as soon as I get back to Enugu again, I will preach that evening. Sometimes I talk, you know, in one weekend, three different places on three totally different topics. And I'll tell you the truth. My wife makes a joke about it. She says, you're the most unspiritual preacher I know. Now, what does she mean? I am not the type of person that will disappear to a mountain to go and pray for 1 week because he's going to preach at the end of the weekend. I can be eating pounded yam and you tap me, say, oh boy, time to preach. I will drop the pounded yam, just jog around a bit to remove the weight, you understand? Give me the microphone, I will preach and you will have blessing. Are you getting my point? And you see, you know, say, how come you can do that? That's what Paul was saying. It is a divine enablement. It is not because I'm better than somebody else. It is because I am called to do it. Are you getting my point? That is why I can preach every day and preach on different topics and it does not stress me one bit. Not because I'm better than any other person, but because I'm called to do it. Please bear that one in mind. I want you to understand. So what God does is to pour his power towards me. Sometimes I will finish preaching. Maybe we'll get home. My wife has said that a number of times. She'll now say, hey, pastor, you didn't tell me this one before, that this one you shared today, I'm hearing it for the first time. And I'll say to her, sweetheart, sorry, me too, I was hearing it for the first time. That is, as you were hearing it, so was I hearing it. I started saying it before I realized what I was saying, but it tied with the scriptures, and I'm operating by what the Bible calls faith, you understand? That it lets each exercise his faith accordingly, his gift accordingly, according to the proportion of his faith. So I have a proportion of faith that allows me to say such things and not be afraid, knowing that they are fully accurate. Of course, it's the word of God. So when my wife says, how come it happened? I say, listen, that's what I'm trying to make here. That is the grace of God. It's not a personal ability. So when the Bible says, say to Zerubbabel, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of God. In New Testament, we'll have said, not by power, not by mind, but by the grace of God. The grace of God is the Spirit or the power of God that is released to get results in our lives. And the Bible says it is released towards those who believe. That's the next point I'm making. Number one, I've emphasized the fact that grace is not just that I don't know how it happened. That is not fully accurate. That's more of an accurate description of mercy. But grace is the power of God. Number two is that it is released towards those who believe. Paul, when he was praying for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1, he prayed for them that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that they will have understanding some things. One of the things is that they will understand the power of God that works towards those who believe. Notice that. He said in the book of Romans chapter 4, he said it has to be by grace, by faith, that it might be in accordance with grace. If it is not by faith, it is not in accordance with grace. What am I saying? That power is released towards those who are exercising faith. That's point number two. Point number one, grace is the power of God. The ability of God released towards so we can get results. Point number two, it is released towards those who have faith. You can read that from the book of Ephesians chapter 1. From verse 17, when Paul was talking about, when he was praying for the people, he said, I pray that God will help you to understand the exceeding greatness of his power that works towards those who believe. So that's the second point, very important. This grace, this power is released towards you if you are exercising faith in the word of God. And that's the main thing I want to explain this evening concerning grace. How do we tap into grace? It's simple. It's by what? Faith. How do we tap into grace? By? By what?
Faith.
Say it louder, please.
Faith.
He said it has to be by faith for it to be in accordance with grace. Please notice that. Let me say something about grace again before I come back to this point number two, which is where I really want to sit. And that is, just to give a few examples. What is grace? Like I said, we're talking about grace to prosper. We are saying that prosperity in the lives of children or the children of God is not by struggle. It's not by personal effort. That's what we're trying to say. We are saying that it is not because a man, a woman is skilled in himself or herself. That was why Moses warned them here. He said, God made you go through all of these things and he showed you his power while you were in the wilderness so that when he will have done you good at the end and you have become enlarged and you have increased, you will not mistakenly say, my own power has gotten me this wealth. He said, you won't mistakenly say that. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the grace. Are you getting the way I'm saying it now? To make wealth. That is, the ability to make wealth is going to be because the power of God is released to you. It is not going to be because you are well educated. It is not going to be because you are well connected. It is not going to be because you have a lot of degrees and your grandfather left you a lot of land, you know, and now you can invest based upon those things. That is not going to be because of that. You are going to find out that God's power just makes things happen for you. That's basically what it is. That's what grace is. The other day I was somewhere. Actually, I was in my barber's shop. And I saw him, he was getting, I said, why are you looking like this? He said, because the boy had gained some weight, were a young man. The man had gained weight. He did the hair in a very funny manner. I said, why are you looking like this? He said, you have to be visible. Visible where? In politics. No, this now they are going to change. Election is coming up in the next few weeks. It will have come now where you know that it was postponed. So he said, he has to be very visible. That in fact, he has recorded a song for the main gubernatorial candidate in our state. So I was looking at him and he was talking. That this is how they will know you. They have to see you. I said, why are you going through all of these motions? A man has to make it. I said, I asked him a question. I said, imagine Dangote singing song for anybody. I said, imagine Dangote dressing up like you because he wants to be noticed. I said, this is what you are doing there. I told him, I said, mark my words, it won't get you anywhere. I said, why don't you face your business and let God bless your business? And when God will have blessed you, you will now become influential by yourself. Not this one that you are queuing up to be singing song for politicians. In fact, my wife and I prayed a prayer because I don't know how it is in Imo State here. In Enugu, we have one prominent gubernatorial candidate. Here, they have two parties that can fight over the thing. On our side, it's as if it's just one man. Once the main party picks you, you have won. So this man looks like he has won. The election has not happened though, but it looks like he has won. So everybody is trying to... Those who have been to Enugu, you know what I'm talking about. You just see the man tell you, thank you. Thank you all. I say, okay, we have not voted for you yet. But he's so sure that he has it in the bag. So everybody is looking for his favor. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody is bringing out billboard. Everybody is singing songs for him. Everybody is trying to, you know, be connected with him. For that reason, my wife and I looked and said, this is not good. They won't let this man walk when he enters in office. So we now pray the prayer. Say, God, may they all be disappointed. I said, Lord, may all of them be disappointed. These people that are just crowding around this man for what they are going to get. I said, may they all be disappointed. So I told my guy that day, I said, oh boy, this is not how to make it in life. What you need is for God to pour grace upon whatever it is that you are doing. That's what you need. Grace is when you get results when men thought you would fail. That's grace. Grace is when a woman that has only primary school leaving certificate accomplishes that which a PhD holder cannot accomplish. Grace is when all the PhD holders are queuing up to work for the man that has only a primary school, in the primary six school leaving certificate. That's what grace is. Listen, you see as we go on, sometimes Christians don't understand the working of grace. They think that primary six certificate holder will sit down and he'll be very stupid. He won't know anything. Then suddenly, every business will be successful. No, that's not how grace works. Grace is that when the man opens his mouth, they will know something is working inside him. I don't know what I get my point. That when he opens his mouth, there's a kind of wisdom with which he will speak. That the PhD holder will go and research to say, who taught this man these things? He may not speak good English, but he will understand world economics. They may say the price of dollar is going high, naira is falling. He will just say things like, no be naira, no worry. After 3 months, it will stabilize. 6 months later, it will come to this price. They say, why do you think so? He said, I checked something the other time where they read paper. I say and say, he will just give you some calculation. And they're looking like, how come this man understands this? And then somebody will say, that is grace. He doesn't have a PhD, but he has wisdom that PhD holders can't even understand. That's how grace works. Grace is that God is pouring his energy, because there are different ways you can get results in life. Don't let me sound too scientific, but let me just drop one line. For those who understand secondary school physics and chemistry, they talked about the intercombatibility of energy. Kinetic energy can be converted to electrical energy. Can you remember that? Those of you know it. Some people say, what language is he speaking? But whatever it is. But those things can be converted. In the same manner, listen to this. The life force that God has given each one of us can be converted into different things. You can convert your life force into prosperity. You can. But what that means is that you won't live long. What that means is that you will have a lot of money, but you will not be able to enjoy it. And that's one thing that God separates. The ability to have and the ability to enjoy it. They are two different things. Some people have, they can't enjoy it. So if you use your enjoyment energy in life, if you understand what I'm trying to say, to make money, to become rich, you will not enjoy the wealth. That's a matter of fact. So what is grace? Grace is when you succeed, not using your own energy, but using the energy of God. That's what grace is. Grace is when God opens doors for you. Doors that men said should be closed, the door opens for you. Grace is when everybody needs connection. You just need a word of prayer. You get to my point? They say, who can help you with this? Do you know the minister? Do you know the special advisor to the president on this? You say, like David, who do I have in heaven but thee, O Lord? For that reason, upon this earth, I have desired to know no other person. Say, don't worry, let me pray about it. Yet, even though you know nobody, yet the laws of the land will be changed to favor you. That's what grace is. Grace is when people have run from here, from Owerri to Lagos. They run from Owerri to America to get something done. Grace is when somebody brings it to you here and you have not yet gone anywhere. That is what grace is. Grace is when divine power is causing things to work favorably for you. That's what grace is. Please bear that in mind. It's so important I emphasize that. So I was saying that, how do we tap into this grace? It is by what? Faith. It is by what? Faith. Now, what is faith? We'll see. That's what I want to say. I want to explain this. Very important. In fact, let me read the scripture again. Please quickly open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 55. I want to explain what faith is and show you how it activates grace. The book of Isaiah chapter 55. Now, where I want to read is long. We are going to read like 11 verses. Which in Isaiah, each verse is very long. So for that reason, I'm going to have to jump. And I'll let you know when I'm jumping. In verse 1, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost." It says to them, "Why do you spend money for what is not good bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance." That is, you will find abundance. Please, I want you to understand something here. God says that if you are thirsty, come and buy. Come to the waters and buy wine and milk. Now notice that. He said, if you are thirsty, come to the waters. If you are lacking something, come and buy, even if you have no money. Please notice something. Come and buy without money and without cost. If he says, come and buy, it is an irony. The statement is a bit out of order. It appears like for you to tell somebody to come and buy and not spend money. Why did he not say, come and receive? Why did he say, come and buy? The reason is that even though you don't have money, there is a cost. And what is that cost? I want to explain that cost. There's no financial cost. We know that. It's clear from verse 1. He said, why do you spend money on that which is not bread? Now, notice the next line. He said, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. That is the price. Is to pay attention. Are you seeing that? The price is to listen. You may say, how can that be a price? You'll see it as we go on. Because in the scriptures, to listen does not just mean to be present. To listen means to cast down your own thoughts and learn something new. And that can be expensive. One of the most difficult things to do in life for human beings is to unlearn that which they already thought they knew. If somebody is thinking one particular way, change your thoughts. That is very difficult. And that's why God was telling them, come and buy, but not with money. What you are going to buy with is with your willingness to cast down what you thought you knew before. Learn something new. Please, you will see where I'm going. Talking about faith and tapping into grace. He said, if you do this, you will eat what is good and you will delight yourself in abundance. He said, incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that's verse 3 now, that you may live. That I told you because of time, I will jump here and there. He said in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Verse 8, I'm jumping because of time. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, let the wicked forsake his way in verse 7, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, verse 8, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, notice the next line. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Please look up here. What was the Lord saying here? Let me read backward from verse 11. He said, this is how my word is. It's more like this. If I want to accomplish something on the earth, if I want to see what I desire come to pass, God said, what I do is what? I send my word. Now notice that. I send my word. He now said, look, but my word will not work in the lives of people, even though the word is hanging around, if their thoughts are different from my thoughts. And as a result, their ways are different from my ways. That's why I tied everything together. He said, let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Why? Because the way they have been thinking is different from the way I think. Therefore, the way they have been behaving is different from how I intended them to behave. Now, please bear this in mind. What am I going to explain? What is faith? Faith simply means to agree with the thoughts of God that you discovered in his word. That is the cost of eating the food of God. That is the cost of the wine of God. That is the cost of the milk of God. It is to accept the word of God and use it to change your thinking process. That is what faith is. Faith is not that I have made up my mind. This flower or this leaf is going to turn yellow. Therefore, I sit down here and say, yellow, it will be yellow. I believe it will be yellow. That is not what faith is. That is stubbornness. Why should it be yellow? You don't know. You don't care. They just said, if you want it, just make sure you believe it. So you go around. Some people are going around town. They are believing nonsense. And they think they are walking by faith. The faith that works is the faith of God. Go and read that in Mark chapter 4. After Jesus cursed the tree, he told them, have the faith of God or have faith in God. The faith that works is not the faith I just recklessly determine by myself what I think should happen. The foundation of faith is that I first get the thoughts. Notice that. The thoughts of God. And the thoughts of God I imbibe them, which is expressed by his word, and then it changes my thoughts. He said, let the wicked forsake his thoughts. That's what faith is. I'm going somewhere. Let me go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and explain something that I've explained before. I don't know whether I said it last time I came here, about how God created. Please try and follow me. I know I'm saying many things, but you will learn and your life will be transformed. Say amen. When God wanted to create, I want to ask you a question. When he said, let there be light, who can answer this question for me? Which language did he speak? I'm happy nobody has the answer. Because they were not speaking English. You can only speak a language when another person is there to hear it. They were not speaking Greek. They were not speaking Hebrew. I heard the man say once that Hebrew is the original language that God spoke. I said, okay, go away, forget this thing. God is not a human being. Why should he speak Hebrew? God did not speak Hebrew. Trust me, he didn't. In the beginning, when he said, let light be, he said, light be. Nobody was listening. Let me tell you the truth. The Bible said his voice, the voice of God is like the sound of many waters. There was a time God spoke, and people said, they were near Jesus, they said, thunder, it was thunder. And God said to Jesus, I have glorified it, I will glorify it again. And they said, wait. What was that? Someone said, did you hear that? No, I heard thunder. It took the ears of Jesus to decode what the thunder sounded like. In the beginning, God didn't speak any language. This is how I like to say it. You know, but the Bible said, he said, let there be light. I'm not saying he didn't say, let there be light. I'm just saying he didn't speak any language. Why did he say, let there be light? Because Moses had to write it for you and me to read. So Moses wrote, let there be light. But which language did he speak? We don't know. But we remember that the Bible said that the Spirit of God was brooding over the waters. And God said, you know what literally happened? I can't, just trust me, eh? Like I told you, I won't lie to you. I'm just telling you the truth. What literally happened was that God was brooding. He was looking and looking. And in his heart, what he wanted to happen became full. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth erupts. So what happened was God looked and said, brr! And brr! Went out. And in some, if it's now you hear, brr! You think it's thunder. That's what happened in the New Testament. They said it's thunder. Moses said, how do I write it so that people understand? So Moses said, well, what came out was what? Light. So what he said was, light be. Literally, Hebrew says, light be. And there was light. Each time God spoke, there was nobody to be listening to conversation. All the lengthy words you hear is only when people are present to hear. That's when God uses lengthy words. And I can prove that to you, John chapter 11. Jesus prayed at the tomb of Lazarus. He now said, wait, I said all of this so that they will hear. Otherwise, Jesus didn't used to pray those kind of funny prayers. Father, I thank you because you have heard me. I know you hear me always. If even now you have heard me and Lazarus is going to rise up. He said, I'm only saying all of this because of these people. Though. Otherwise, Jesus would have come there without uttering a word. He knew God had heard him. He would have just said, Laz, and he will go away. If Lazarus lies, let him wake up next year. Jesus doesn't care. He has spoken his word, he's going. All that story you see is because of Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Mary, you know, Martha, the sister. That's all that long conversation. Otherwise, the Lord Jesus just gets there. Where's Lazarus? He's inside there. And he walk away. That thing he did, the angels carried. It's power. Why am I explaining this? The word logos is not just word, it's also thought. Because with God, if you ever read Rejoiner said, when he will be in heaven, he will try to think. The angels will hear what he's thinking. And he says, I didn't see anything. They say, here, we hear your thoughts. In the realm of the spirit, words and thoughts cannot be different. Because the thoughts come out as words. And that's why James calls us double-minded. Well, we'll say one thing and think another. That's double-mindedness. You say, where are you going? I'll get there. So when God wanted to create, you know what he did? He just formed the right thoughts in his heart. That's why he was brooding. Then a time came, the thoughts were full. The Bible said, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain. When his thoughts were full, boom, he came out and they said, let the firmament separate. He didn't utter all those long English. He would just look. What is the next thing? There's now light. Okay, I need things to govern the day and to govern the night. I need stars hanging in the stars hanging in the sky to be as signs. I need this as he's just thinking, boom! Once he finishes the thought process, in heavens, you hear, boom! It's an explosion. Then stars will show up, firmament will separate, water will gather here, land will gather here. It's okay, fine. There's water, there's land, there's waters above the firmaments before the days of Noah. There's waters below. What's the next thing? There has to be living things. So he starts thinking, fish, dinosaurs, all kinds of things will be inside the water. As soon as he's finished with arranging the process of what he wants, boom! That's what the heavens hear. Moses will write, let there be fish in the water, having and seed bearing seed after its own kind. All that one, now long grammar so that you and I can understand. Those were the thoughts in the mind of God. Are you getting my point? So he said, let the wicked forsake his own way of thinking. When they think wrongly, they do wrongly. When they do wrongly, they don't obey the word of God. Therefore, results doesn't come into their life. How do we tap by grace? And tap into grace. Simple. By learning to think the way God thinks. Because what comes out of your life is actually fundamentally that which is filled inside your heart as thoughts. That's what comes out of your life. All this talk we talk in church, bless you, sir, it is well. If it is not coming out of the abundance of the heart, it does not get results. The words that matter are the ones that come out of the abundance of the heart. When God wanted to create at the beginning, he wasn't there talking plenty grammar. He was there looking at what he wanted to do. So he looked and said, these waters have to be separated. Some will go above, some will stay below. There will be a wide expanse to separate the waters. Boom! Then we see it happen. All he was doing was thinking. But when the thoughts are full, boom, it erupts out of his mouth like an explosion. Then Moses writes down the explosions as detailed pattern of his thought process. I'm going somewhere. What our duties are, or our primary duty as Christians, is to ensure that when we are thinking about anything, we are thinking just what God would think about them. That is how power is released. Are you getting my point? Let me take as an example now. Some of us here are over the age of 50, 60. I like to say these things. I told the Lord long ago that, you see the way I'm walking like this now? I can touch my toes, not a problem. At the age of 90, I'll do that for you. I'll be preaching, and I will touch those toes. Say, how do you know? It's simple. It's in the scriptures. The righteous man, the one that's favored by God, when he's old, he'll still be full of sap. According to the word of God, for you to be called old, you need to be more than 100 years old. Anybody less than 100, God says you're youth. In case I was not fully introduced, the fact is I'm a medical doctor, so I know what medicine says. Medicine will tell you that after the age of 60, you know, today, this morning, I went for a conference in the hospital on mammography. They said women should be going for mammography to check their breasts from the age of 50 and above. Some said no, it should be 40. And they were speaking the long grammar. Between the age of 40 and 50, I was just there, I was laughing. I was laughing in myself. I said, deception. Deceiving the whole world. Even the statistics they were giving, I told my colleague, that statistic is a lie. They said, if we check 1,000 women from the age of 40 to 50, every year with mammography, we will save 33 years of age from prevent them from dying. That is, at the end of the day, we'll have added 33 years to the age for the life expectancy of 1,000 people. That is, they share it to, not 33 for each person. So I said, for 100, it will be 3.3 years. For one person, it's 3 years and 3 months divided by 100. Come to how many days? For you, that's if you do mammography every year from the age of 40 to 50. I said, they didn't tell you the problems you will go through in that process. Why am I saying that? They will tell you that when the time you are about the age of 50, cancer is more common. If you're a man, at the age of 70, your prostate will start singing another language. And the more they tell you, the more you believe it. And the more it becomes real in your life. So when they finish saying their own, I take the word of God. I say, okay, Shebi, this is for old people. I'm not going to be old until I'm over 100. Between now and 100, I'm young. The Bible says in Isaiah, it said, this is how it is in the kingdom of God.